without further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest. This is kind of a really interesting guest, although it's a topic that that I know that many people ask about, and we've been asking about them actually lately. The last few shows, this question has been brought up a few times. So I kind of thought that this was kind of perfect for this time. And so in any case, I'm going to bring on my guest in just a moment. But what I was going to say to you is that I think it was that the show or the last two shows, Actress Interested Enough, although people always want to connect with loved ones, but there were quite a few questions actually about people that were changing careers or were kind of forced to change careers and had to refigure out their life, and then there were other people that really felt like they were struggling within some of those areas. And I know I had a gentleman on a few months ago, and people really liked some of the ideas and thoughts that he had about, you know, his book was called Easy Breezy Prosperity. But if I'm sure you remember, it was, you know, of course, all these things are always archived, so you can always go back and check about them. But this guest has, not to mention, a fascinating background. Her book is called The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. But I think that the way that she has sort of lined them up are really kind of like interesting from some of the other people that I've had on my show in this sort of arena. So in any case, she's got a phenomenally very, very, very different background. She was raised as a Shiite Muslim in Iran, and she came to the United States to go to the University of Los Angeles, where she got her BS in engineering. She, at that point, somewhere returned back to Iran to go to work as a structural engineer. And then after, of course, the Iranian Revolution, she moved back to the United States, where she's now lived for the last 30 years. So she went from being a Muslim, and she converted to Christianity, and then she married into a Jewish-American family. So she would have what we call a total of all three Arabic religions that are based, what her book is based upon, which, again, I told you was the Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. We will obviously discuss quite a few of those and how she sort of narrowed them down. But what I think, the things that you thought is interesting, because I know this to be really true, that there's always the same weave that go throughout different religions. In other words, like there's sort of the same thing that's always said within different religions, and it's sort of like maybe said in the same way. We don't always kind of like get it. So I'm going to deduce that that Sherry went ahead and did that on her own, and that's how she sort of came up with her thoughts. So, Sherry Brown, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Susan.
You're very, very welcome. Just real quick here, guys, the number always to call is 347-945-7785, 347-945-7785. If you were on the line, I would say if you don't mind waiting for the toward the end of the hour when I'm giving out messages, then you probably have a pretty good shot as I take things in order to do that. So, needless to say, you had obviously a really, really kind of interesting background, and it's sort of what I thought was, besides the fact of your background really being interesting, is that how you really felt like there were these major key elements of these three major religions that you said, you know, make us whole and make us secure, and you contend that those are the ones that really outweigh the differences, but there's as many similarities as there are differences within those. So, and somehow that jumped from you doing this whole Seven Commandments, and we'll talk about, you know, why you came up with the seven. But just real quick, Sherry, what were some of obviously you said the majors. What were some of the major things that you sort of found in your process of shifting from, you know, where you were from being a Muslim into Christianity and to Judaism?
Well, Susan, I was I was raised, as you said, a Muslim. I converted to Christianity after I read the three books and realized that I might personally relate to Christ and his message more.
Uh-huh.
But it really doesn't matter because they all say the same thing, basically, all three prophets. There were 124,000 prophets. Three of them bring God's message to us by God says, I blessed Moses with the law. I blessed Jesus with my spirit, and I blessed Muhammad with my book. But massive amount of misinformation about religion as whole, and Islam in particular, promoted me to read different publications for over 25 years. Every day I read all the three scriptures because I wanted to find out the discrepancies between the three. And what I found, that the differences and or discrepancies are so minor compared to the real message. And what has happened during all these years, the simple message of these three prophets, that basically they all are saying, believe in one God. Christ came to summarize, because of time, to change the religion for that time, because Jewish people in Sinai, they had to, for instance, throw away the leftovers because there was no refrigeration. So he came and changed, made it simpler for people, but he was a Jew. He never claimed to be Son of God. He never claimed that Jews are going to come and kill me. He said sinners are going to come and kill me. So because of the segregation and politics, after he died, they came up with Christianity as if it is a different religion. And none of those, nobody really forced people into conversion as much as 200 years after Christ died, so-called apostles did. The atrocity, these killings that you see today has been going on, and none of this has anything to do with God. The seven commandments is basically all the commandments of these three prophets, getting rid of the similarity and redundancy. For instance, they all three say that believe in one God, believe in hereafter. So I added the commandments of Moses, 10 commandments, 2 commandments of Jesus, and 7 commandments of Muhammad. And I came up with 7 commandments when I got when I disposed of the redundancies. That is basically what God is trying to convey to us through these prophets. For everybody
these obviously these commandments you believe are, of course, are the key to happiness, which you know kind of made pretty clear. So Can we talk about some of those commandments? So I understand the total thing related to God, which I totally agree with about you. And I know you broke it down in terms of, you know, how this impacted us as men and as women and all of these other aspects. So let's talk about a few of those 7 commandments, Sherry, which you state very 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 significantly. As being the keys to happiness.
Yes. Well, the first and most important commandment is Abraham commandment, which is believing in one God. We have to think of these three prophets as cornerstones of the base of the triangle of a pyramid. Abraham said, believe in one God. Then Moses comes and tells us about the law of society and how to live with each other without killing each other, stealing from each other. Jesus comes and summarizes it. So the first commandments that I have in my 7 commandments is believing in one God. Word of evil is one of the most important commandments of Muhammad. Wherever there is jealousy, anger, disease, even anything negative is from evil. How we have to ward off evil is not by ignoring that he exists. We have to realize that he does exist. He is powerful, but God is more powerful. And we have to have faith in that. So warding off evil is like somebody comes to you for no reason. They start slandering you or attacking you verbally. If you get upset, that means that you have caught the disease. You have to look at it as evil, a disease. You want to ward off, you walk away. This way, you get away from anger. Jealousy, if you want to be jealous of someone who has more than you, when you have enough money or more than him, there's always somebody who has more than you at one point.
Absolutely.
So you have to be content. This is what Christ teaches us. Contentment is the key. You have to be content with what you have and thank God. What God is asking us on all of these seven commandments basically is to recognize him, appreciate what he's given us,
mm-hmm.
and have faith that if something we prayed for did not happen, we have to have such a strong faith that this is because of something better which is going to happen to us. There's a whole section in Quran about God teaching Moses about patience, that and faith and patience, that you have to have faith that your prayers will get accepted. You have to talk, verbalize your prayers. And if it doesn't happen, instead of being upset and think that you're not lucky or God doesn't love you, you still have to have faith that this happened for a better reason. Two-thirds mm-hmm. of Quran is about Christianity and Judaism. Basis of Quran is based on the other two religions. The word Islam means believing in higher power. So when Muhammad calls Jesus and Moses Muslim, which means in Arabic believing in one God, therefore, when people come and attack these innocent people, even per own jihad, the martyrs are the ones that they are killing, not the ones who wrap themselves in a bomb or they run the plane into Twin Towers. The whole basis of Quran is on kindness, honesty, being nice to each other, not attacking for no reason. Jihad should be an obsolete word because there's almost everybody nowadays believe that there is one God. Now, if
that's
the
very
terrorists, but when terrorists come and call themselves Muslims or jihadists, that's insulting. That's tarnishing the word Islam, because there is nowhere in Islam that says there should be five different Sunnis, three different Shias. They all have to kill each other, and they all have to kill America. America didn't exist during Muhammad. So for them to say death to America, I don't know why they hate us. I don't know what they're following, but definitely they're not Islam. And that is bothersome when you hear how mm-hmm. misunderstood these yeah. are. And I'm positive most of these young kids, because Quran is written in Arabic and it's in a poetic way, it's pretty complicated. Most of these
people... Yeah, you
people
can't really... Is it difficult for the interpretation of the language?
Yes, so they take anything
yeah.
that the owners and the head of this terrorist group say, they take it at face value. They really do... I believe that they are so ignorant.
Right.
You'd be
mm-hmm.
surprised how ignorant they are. That they
yeah.
do believe that they're going to go to heaven when they go, you know, put bombs, wrap themselves in a bomb and kill all the innocent people.
Right. So I have another question for you, Sherry. By the way, the number to call in is 347-945-7785. If you're on the line now, you have a good chance of making the connection with me at the end of the show. which I usually do about 9:45 of. So I know one of the other things that you talk about, and of course I speak about quite a bit on my show and with many of my guests, and to me this is sort of the key, separate from all the things you discussed, which I know to be so true about the three religions, is that you talked also about the importance of prayer and why we should try as best as we can to sort of stay in that energetic state as much as possible, and of course it's never totally easy to do that.
Great.
But maybe there's a couple of suggestions that you can give, and then I also want you to address, because as I said to you, that I have had some of the people of recently in my last few shows that have not also been out of work and are looking for jobs, and just sort of like a combination between maybe prayer and some of the things you might be able to give some people advice on how to have them help them get work since they've been out of work, since your book is called The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity.
Yes. Well, let's speak about this. If you follow the tenets of Seven Commandments, which is all God wants, all these killings you read in the Bible has really nothing to do with God and what he wants. If you follow the commandments, then you will have a serene soul. If you have serene soul, you have a happiness that comes within you, and that reflects to other people. You will accept, you do better in your business negotiations, you do better in your job interviews. Prayer is something that God is asking us to do. We have to verbalize, thank him every day. Muslims pray on Fridays, Jewish people pray on Saturdays, Christians pray on Sunday. I'm saying this is not a weekend God. Especially the fact that in Quran says if you don't do Shabbat, do five-time prayers. At the end of Quran says if you work all day, you cannot do five-time prayers. Then do your prayers at night. I think you can pray all the time. You can pray when you're drying your hair, when you're driving. You are better off, it says it in the scripture, that you're better off verbalizing your prayers, repenting for your sins, noticing your sins and repent. Verbalizing your needs, tell God what your problems are, and if you practice this, even if you don't want to, just practice it like every other diet you take. After 2 months, there is no way you don't see how your life changes, how money comes from a place you don't even expect it. It's like a miracle. I do believe in miracles. They do happen, but you have to believe it. You have to believe from the bottom of your heart, from the eyes of your heart.
That's true. The number to call again is 347-945-7785. I know I have a lineup here of an 813 and a 336 and a 310. So we're going to take a quick break, Sherry, and then I want to come back and, like I say, some practical hints that you can mention to our listeners about just if they are quite literally out of a job and they want to try to find work. Some of maybe your suggestions, of course, prayer being, a significant one that could really sort of like help them kind of like along the way here. We're going to take a quick break. This is Susan North, my special guest, Sherry Brown, Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. It's Suzanne, and my guest is Sherry Brown, and the book is called Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. And as you can see, that Sherry's had quite a background, and she's obviously done tons of writing among obviously the three kind of sort of major religions and the the big ones that we all know is certainly the one God, and we all know that's definitely sort of true here. But I'm a total believer that that prayer is very important. Prayer to me also is like gratitude, each day of being gratitude of what we have in our lives, because As you said, you don't have to look very, very far to find out somebody that may not even have feet, better yet, shoes. So it's not easy to have sort of that big stretch. So other than the prayers and, you know, the connection with God, let's just say, and of course it's pretty not true of my listeners, but if somebody was, you know, quote unquote, to be an atheist and not really believe in God, and they would say that, you know, of course I don't believe in this and I don't believe in prayer. So how would they go out about maybe trying to find work or being able to give them some advice with this?
Well, Suzanne, I think if someone does not believe in God, as
mm-hmm.
long as they live a righteous life,
I
wouldn't show off about being an atheist. There's nothing to show off about, but that's fine. As any religion, any culture, anything anybody wants to follow, as long as they stick to the message of God. Now,
mm-hmm.
the very first, if you're talking about prosperity as far as money is concerned,
well, prosperity, and when somebody says, you know, are you rich? Rich could mean a lot of different things to a lot of
yes,
different
it's
people.
It's all a matter
know.
Of perception.
Absolutely.
So
yes. To me, I think that if you love what you do for a living and you make a living at it, then you're very rich, because there are many,
that's
many people,
right.
as you well know, that do not like what they do for a living. So to do something that you love and to be, you know, be able to make a living out of it, be able to pay for your rent or your mortgage or whatever, then I think that that's a pretty big deal, personally.
That's what you
so,
think. Most people
you know,
have to, my advice is that the first thing we have to do is stop being greedy, stop wanting more than we want, stop that desire, extinguish the greed, and we should be content with having what we need. Happiness comes from satisfying desires, but you must rein those desires so
mm-hmm.
you don't want more than you need and take from the need of others.
Right.
If we stop desiring it and scheming, cheating other people, and live a righteous life, there is no way that you will not achieve success or happiness, or at worst, you would realize it wasn't as important as you thought it was, because
mm-hmm.
God wants everybody to be happy.
No,
so
no
happiness,
yeah.
right? So happiness comes any time that there's unhappiness, sickness. There exists evil. If we stay away, the farther you stay away from evil, the farther he gets away from you. The closer you get to God, the closer he gets to you. So there is no way that he would turn his back on you if you do. If you live a righteous life, if you be a charitable giver, giving is not necessarily with money. You can give it with your time.
There's many ways you can give somebody.
That's right. Warren Buffett
yeah.
gives with his money. Mother Teresa gave with her time. So success also, as you mentioned earlier, is a matter of perception. Somebody feels very prosperous and successful for having 12 siblings around them, living all together. Somebody feels happy and successful by living alone and be left alone in an island. So it's all perception. So what we want here is to achieve what makes us happy. What makes us happy is within us. The God is within you. It's not out there. You can't look for happiness out there. You have to look for happiness inside you. So when you feel serene, you have a serene soul, you feel happy, happiness begets happiness, and it reflects with your when you contract with other people, and they love to have you around, they love to help you. And you see how life becomes easier.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say that, somebody, you know, they have been looking for work, because, I mean, I'm sure you know people. I know people that have been looking for work for a year or two. And, you know, it's very hard for them to in that process to remain positive, understandably so. And I know that, you know, and some of the people that I know are they're fine people, but I think that just sometimes, if you know, for when things go on for such a long time, it becomes, you know, overwhelming for a lot of people. So, and you know, obviously from, you know, all the things you're saying about, you know, obviously the sense of self and, of course, continue to be in prayer. So these people that are let's say, are out of work, Sherry, how would you give them advice? I mean, of course, prayers is sort of part of it and try to keep them positive. But sometimes, like I said, that's hard for people that have, you know, been a while out of work.
But if they don't make that, because unhappiness has its own coziness. So
mm-hmm.
if they don't sit, they do everything they can, make it their job to look for a job 8 hours a day. And be righteous. Don't think by lying or cheating other people it's an excuse for you just because you don't have money. This is not an excuse for you to go steal money from anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
you stay in the right path and don't get distracted or diverted, definitely you will get after 2 months, because I have done numerology, and that's a subject of another book. There is no way that things don't turn out the way they can't even imagine how. It will happen for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, there is a glitch, there is something they haven't done right. If you see people for a long period of time, they're unhappy and they can't get anything, and they're godly and they love God and they don't lose faith that, oh, you know, God doesn't love me or I'm an unlucky person, there's no way that their life wouldn't change for better.
So you have a couple other thoughts that you've talked about, you talk about how critical thinking can lead to enlightenment. What do you mean by critical thinking? What do we mean by actually doing obviously
what
critical thoughts?
During my experience during the revolution in Iran.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously,
the Iranian Revolution, I'm sure, really did change your life and how
a lot
how
did, because these are Islamic. This was supposed to be Islamic revolution, but yet every day they would hello. I thought
it's on here.
Every day they would stop. They stopped me so many times, and these 16-year-old boys with a shotgun. In your face, they provoke you, they demean you, they hurt your pride by saying things. Now, instead of putting them down, you have to really think critically, because right now the power is in their hand, and if they kill you, you are guilty as far as Islamic revolution was concerned. So putting them down instead of saying something smart, critically thinking, saying something smart to appease them, it's like, you know, when I see in the movies when women get raped, they spit in the person's face. Well, that definitely is asking for trouble. That's not thinking right. So you have to be really smart at what point you have to forget your ego and just think critically what is going to happen to you if you don't, because the person who you're confronting with doesn't have the knowledge. Especially in Iran, I think during the revolution, I noticed these people are not even religious. They don't even really believe in God. They just listen to the heads, and they just do whatever they're told to do. So you have to really be a critical thinker to survive the way I survived. So many times they stopped me and they interrogated me about everything.
Mm-hmm.
the car I was driving, the clothes I was wearing, everything.
Again, the book is Sherry Brown, The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. And I believe people can get the book on Amazon, Sherry, or?
Amazon.com or SevenCommandments.com.
Okay.
Amazon or Seven. Yes.
And I think that the website is the Seven Commandments. Am I correct on that?
Yes, SevenCommandments.com, yes.
So, just, you know, a couple other sort of things here is that, you know, I know that you you somehow use this also in terms of how you say, like, that advertises, which is very true, because I know that people that are in businesses, they use a lot of these techniques and traditions to get ahead, to improve their life. And so this is called, you know, idolatry. And so... It obviously a certain form of ideology, but how just real quick here, how do publishers go ahead or advertisers go ahead and use it?
I didn't understand the question. How do
advertisers use to still use today how you know some of these philosophies that you're talking about here?
Well, it's very, really simple. It's a very simple act to follow. If you read all of the scriptures or all mm-hmm. of the, even the news is not accurate. You have to really take away from everything you hear what your common sense says is right. And stop desiring things that are not your right. Just decide to wipe somebody's tears. That's giving. Decide not to be so avarice and not to be so greedy, because that takes away from other people that respect each other. If you're a follower of Christ, respect somebody who's a follower of Muhammad or follower of Moses.
Right.
But nobody wants
to always agree with people, but you have to be respectful to them, and that's
you have to be very respectful and realize that really if somehow there's a fear in Muslims to read the Bible, in Jewish people or Christians to read the Quran, there's a fear there as though they're committing a sin if they read that. But unless you read all the three books, you never really get how these books mesh together and how they say basically the same thing.
Yeah.
But
well,
different times for different...
That's definitely true. Yeah.
And
so again,
Christianity,
the book is,
yes.
Yes. So again, the book is The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. Sherry is spelled Shari. Brown is her last name. You can go to the website and check out a lot of other information about Sherry and in her book. Now, do you have any signings coming up at all? Any book signings anywhere?
No, I haven't really had time because I work full time and I have these radio shows. But I may have one coming up. Haven't decided now.
Wonderful. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back. We'll be doing messages for the rest of the evening tonight. But again, the book is called The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. Thank you for your time, Sherry. And
I
think there's wonderful things too for people, you know, suggestions for people to get sort of from one place to sort of another in their life. But I obviously, you know, I'm going to agree upon the sense of really staying positive, keeping the prayer out there, and it's really true. There's one God, and we all may choose to make that connection in a whole kind of other different way.
Yes,
so,
and you have to experience God. It's very arrogant of us to think that we can calculate and find out God by our brain is not big enough to understand God. We have to experience Him. Only you can do it by following His commandments.
Wonderful.
And thank
Again,
you very much.
You're very welcome, Sherry. You have a wonderful evening. And we're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll be doing messages for the rest of the night. If you're on the line, stay on, 336-813, I believe it's 310, and what we Suzanne Northrup, and my guest was Sherry Brown, Seven Commandments for Happiness, Innocence, and Prosperity. We'll take a couple of quick breaks, and we'll be back for the rest of the evening with messages.